Boom. We're back. Markson Reese. As it was announced earlier today that Curb Your Enthusiasm will return for an 11th season there, Mr. Reese.
There you go.
I haven't watched it in many years.
Oh, man. Love Curb. Love Curb.
In fact, I don't think I have HBO anymore. In fact, I don't. I have Showtime. I don't have HBO anymore. I wasn't watching anything on it. So, no, I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm was a great show. I just kind of... Is it still good? It can't be as good as it used to be when it first came on.
No, it's not. But it's
still worth it.
Oh yeah, if you're a Curb fan, I mean, you'll enjoy it.
I'm glad Curb's back. I hope Curb stays around forever. Like, it's very hard to still find his kind of humor out there.
Yeah, I'm with Curb.
Where it tries to, you know, mirror real life in a way.
Oh yeah, he's really that nutty, Larry David.
Yeah, I know.
He's playing himself.
It's kind of sad. Like, I've gotten.
It'll be a lot of. You know, it's going to be a lot of COVID stuff in this season.
I mean, the last episode of the season.
You know what?
That's
a great point.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of that.
Last episode of the season last year was all about Purell and stuff, and they're Purell shortage. So they were already.
They're already in their way right into the next season.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great point. That's good content. Larry David in COVID-19.
Oh yeah, I remember when he did the where do you think the black family came from? Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's how they that yeah that's how they came
they,
there.
That's how they
yeah.
came to L.A. They got displaced.
It's not like Larry won't have plenty of content.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he takes the real life stuff and just somehow weaves it into the show.
Oh, it's gonna be a whole social distancing.
Yeah,
episode.
Remember last year he had the MAGA hat on.
Yeah.
I'm sure
because he didn't want people to bother him.
I'm sure he's gonna make people uncomfortable with social distancing, and he won't know how to wear a mask.
Yeah.
But he's probably a huge social distancing fan.
He is a social distancing fan.
He's been doing it before it was
trendy. He's gonna be the guy who's bothered by somebody else not doing it
or not
wearing a mask. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how he, because people like Larry David aren't doing too well at this point with the quarantine and COVID-19 and everything. They're struggling.
Which probably why he'll do his show from the house. Probably be a lot of stuff. Like, he's a great writer.
Plenty of content.
So he'll write about stuff he's bored doing in the house that we'll all be able to relate to.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what he'll do.
What if he doesn't leave the house for the whole season?
Yeah, right?
That might be the year.
He may not.
Yeah.
He may not. All right. So that's here's the other thing that's going on. Kobe Bryant documentary. And it's not on any TV. It's on Instagram or YouTube. Mm. So it's called Mamba Out, 8-part documentary all about Kobe and the 2010 Lakers title. So I think it's less about It'd be pretty soon to do the whole Kobe legacy thing to where this is obviously was in production before. But it's an 8-part documentary on the 2010 champions. And it has interviews with Paul Gasol, Metal World Peace, Derek Fisher, and others from it. But it's on Instagram and YouTube. Do you have any interest in, I guess you'll watch it there, Ike?
No.
No?
It's on YouTube. If it was on TV, I'd watch it.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Jack, is it the YouTube just...
I might watch it. I just wish they didn't take the name Mamba out for this one.
This is something that's rushed.
Yeah. To capitalize off of.
All you're doing is chronicalizing one season, the 2010 season. That wasn't even his final season, the year he beat the Celtics.
Yeah, it just seems like they're kind of...
Yeah, they're trying to capitalize on the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. I'm out. Anything Kobe-related for me is...
I'm out.
It's too soon. I still can't... I still can't
see any stories. You should have saw Lil Wayne Sunday. BET Awards, man.
Yeah, I saw it.
That was awesome.
I saw a clip. Yeah, it was good work by him for sure. All right, back to the phones. We have Nick in Collegeville. Hi, Nick.
Johnny Marks.
What's up, brother?
What's up, buddy? All right. Hey. Thank you, Reese. What's up?
What's up, Nick?
That Miami loss was horrible. Like, absolutely horrible.
It was.
It should define his career. It should define, right? It should define Dougie's career.
No.
Now. Pretty boy Floyd. That Super Bowl loss, 2 weeks to prepare, 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
That should define his career then. 3 points in the Super Bowl, Mr. Offense, Mr. making gadget moves and plays and this and that. He uses logarithms and all this and that. And he came up with 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, John.
How's Jared Goff playing that game?
What's that?
How did Jared Goff play in that game?
So was it Goff that woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or was it another team that stopped that team?
See,
that's what Dougie does. Whatever, what Dougie does is he gets his team ready to play. Occasionally, like every great coach, like even the big hoodie, cheating hoodie, three-time cheating hoodie with all those Super Bowls, he has flubs. They got embarrassed last year in a playoff game, embarrassed at home. Okay? Coaches do that. They take losses. Question is, what do you do for your career? At the moment, one Super Bowl and head-to-head 2-0 versus zero Super Bowls, head-to-head 0-2, they're the top two things you got to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst division, you know, strength of schedule. You can do all that, John, if you want. But mm-hmm. that's after you do Super Bowl 1-0 versus 0-1 and head-to-head 2-0 versus 0-2. And guess what? Both times, he didn't have a quarterback. He didn't have his starting quarterback. So you could say that McVay has a worse quarterback. But at the end of the day, he had his starting quarterback play both games, and they lost.
Right. Let me ask you
at home.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. How would you say that Nick Foles' performance was in the Super Bowl? Great.
It was great, but
okay. How would you say Jared Goff's performance in the Super Bowl?
Well, that's Sean McVay's problem. He's supposed to get his quarterback ready. What are you talking about? Nick Foles showed up to Super Bowl Sunday on his own, or did Doug Peterson get him ready to play? How did Nick Foles look against the Raiders? How did he look against the Falcons?
How did he look? How did Jared Goff look in other games?
I'm talking
he looked great.
About the coach being responsible for getting his player to play at his best.
Jared Goff was a deer in the headlights in the Super Bowl. He was a deer in the headlights. How did Nick Foles look in the Super Bowl?
You know why he was a deer in the headlights? Because his coach was a deer in the headlights. Did you hear him before the game?
We did, yes.
Yeah. That sound like a guy that was in deer in the headlights?
Did Nick Foles look like what did Nick Foles look like in you know, when he came back last year for the Jags? He looked like a deer in the headlights. But guess what? Under Dougie P against the hoodie, okay, he looked like MVP best quarterback in history for Philadelphia.
So that's Doug.
Yeah.
That's not the player. That's Doug.
Well, he doesn't look that way anywhere else.
It's everybody. John, we don't want to isolate it. When we bring up one point, well, that's the player and it's not the coach. When the coach takes a loss, it's the coach's fault,
But Nick, you're doing the same thing. Shut up, all right? So annoying. The only time he calls in is for these occasions, and I appreciate it. But, yeah, I'm isolating, you're isolating, all right? That's what we're doing.
Yeah, but hold on. The coach... Is he not connected with his quarterback? Is he not an offensive guru? Is he not
guru? Yes, guru.
Is he a whiz or a guru? Which one is it? I don't know.
Both.
Okay.
Guru guy.
Okay, so is he not responsible for how his quarterback plays? That's the same quarterback he had when he went 11-5 and 13-3.
Let me ask you a question. Carson Wentz has a below 500 record in 2018. Nick Foles comes in, and they make a run, and they make the playoffs. Was that Doug Peterson, or was that the
player? Here's the difference. I'm not using the quarterback as an excuse. You've never heard me say Doug is responsible for Carson Wentz's bad play. Yeah, not calling plays where you get the guy outside the pocket, that's one thing. You've never heard me blame a loss on Doug Peterson if Carson played bad in a game.
Okay.
Well, that's the difference. You're sitting here trying to blame Jared Goff when they don't play well, but what about when they went 11-5 and 13-3? Then you want to give the coach the credit, not the quarterback.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
you want to get a coach the credit when they win, but when he doesn't win last year, it's the quarterback's fault.
No, but I mean, but seriously, so was Doug coaching poorly in 2018, or was the player playing poorly before Nick Foles came in?
I said the team was playing poorly.
Okay, so then what happened when Nick came in to be the starting quarterback?
The team started playing better.
Okay, so who gets credit for that? The team?
Doug is the coach.
Okay, so Doug was
who would you
was
like
coaching
to
give, crappy
hold on,
earlier.
Hold on, who would you like to give credit for? Yeah, do you realize you can have a sequence of games where you don't coach well? Hold up, because you seem to think one thing just carries you throughout the entire year. So, yeah, you can have a couple of bad games and then have four or five good games. You can do that. Go ask the Giants. They won two Super Bowls that way. They won two Super Bowls that way. So, yeah, Doug didn't have his team ready in 2018. They were on a banquet tour, all of them, in the offseason. All of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it took them a while to get healthy and get going.
Mm-hmm.
But the team made the playoffs is the point.
Yeah, but here's what changed in 2018. The quarterback play changed.
Right.
Carson wasn't playing well. He was hurt.
Right.
The quarterback play changed. That's what changed.
All right, why do we got to keep going through this about 2018? You throw that blanket statement out there, and then when I pull up Carson's numbers, that shows he actually did play well.
No, he didn't. I don't care what the stats say.
I know he didn't play well. No, because
it
goes against what you're trying to argue. No, the team didn't win. The team didn't win. The quarterback can actually have a good game and the team loses.
I don't think Carson Wentz played well in 2018.
I know, but that's an opinion. The numbers don't back that up.
Okay, but numbers don't tell the whole story. Dak Prescott's numbers last year. How were they, Ike? How were Dak Prescott's numbers last year?
Pretty good.
They were great. How did he play last year? He wasn't good.
When they were getting blown out. But that wasn't the case with the Eagles.
Okay.
That's the difference.
And what we're talking about here is this CBS HQ survey that came out, top 10 NFL coaches, and Sean McVay was ahead of Doug Peterson on the list.
As a matter of fact, I don't know how many games has Carson been in where he has been blown out.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't happen very often.
What, just the Saints game from 18?
I'm not even counting 16. That's his rookie year with no players.
The Vikings game and the Cowboys game last year.
Yes.
The Saints game from 18.
The Cowboy game last year. I don't even know if the Vikings game was really a blowout. And it wasn't on Carson having a bad game as much as it was the defense couldn't stop anybody. Right?
That was more about the defense
couldn't stop anybody.
That was defense.
Carson rarely has bad games. He just rarely has bad games. You may say he didn't play flawless, but he rarely has bad games.
Right, but I guess my point is that this is about quarterback play as much as about head coaching. And without good quarterback play, it's tough to win games.
No, this is about head coaching.
Well, the quarterback play matters to head coaching. It matters. The quarterback play matters.
I know. So then why wouldn't Doug Peterson receive more credit for being able to get his quarterbacks to play well? Sean McVay has the number one overall pick. Doug Peterson had the second overall pick. Behind Jared Goff.
Right, who's the better player?
Hold up. Nick Foles was a backup quarterback. So using your argument that the coach has been able to get the most out of his quarterbacks, which makes him a better coach, who's a former quarterback and an offensive guy, while you're sitting here blaming the Rams quarterback for Sean McVay, it was the same quarterback that got him to 11-5 and 13-3 in the Super Bowl. So they went 9-7. But this isn't a debate about the quarterbacks. This is about the coach and what they bring to the table. And since both of them work directly with the quarterback, then the quarterback reflects the coach.
A February 2020 list on NFL.com has Jared Goff as the 20th ranked quarterback.
Oh,
it's just the first one that I found.
You want to give me a list? There's 1,000 lists out there. So what? That's not the point that I'm making. It's 1,000 lists out there. You keep talking about the quarterback. I'm talking about the head coach.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Tim in Abington, Pennsylvania. What's up, Timmy? How are you?
I do not know how you do
oh,
it.
Oh, man.
How it's done. I would be a raging alcoholic. You are like a pancake.
Wow.
You're flip-flopping all over the place.
Well, tell me how I'm flip-flopping, Tim.
Okay, one minute you want to talk about the quarterbacks and say, well,
Jared Goff
is a better quarterback than Goff, but then you want to say, well, let's look at the franchise history, and Doug took over a franchise that was good. And
how's that flip-flopping? That's not flip-flopping.
You're trying to make different comparisons.
It's all part of the argument, Tim.
But if McVay was the head coach of the Eagles last year when Carson...
They would have been better than they were last year.
If Sean McVay was the coach
of the Eagles last year, they would have been as good or better. Yes, they would have been.
And if Doug Peterson and Jared Goff,
they're a 5-win team.
No, they wouldn't have.
Huh?
You want to look at numbers, just head-to-head Super Bowl wins is one thing.
They don't want to look at those numbers.
He prepares his players every time. Look at how many injuries the Eagles have taken over the last 3 years compared to the Rams. And he's still getting the best out of practice squad players, where McVay, I don't think, would be able to. And you wanted to say Carson was a much better quarterback, but the list that Julio had that Goff was 11, and Wentz was 13.
Tim, what does that have to do with this? What does Joe Julio's list have to do with this?
Carson's a much better quarterback.
Right, exactly.
In that list, he's not. In that list, he's only like four better.
I'm going to ask you again. And what does that mean?
You agree with it.
That's BS.
No, it's not BS.
Oh, so now, hold on, flip-flop, Tim. So now you're changing your argument. You just go from one argument to another.
You're justifying yours. You're saying, well, Carson's a better quarterback.
Yes.
Well, Goff has better wide receivers.
He does.
Better running back.
No, he doesn't have a better running back. Last year he didn't.
The year before he did.
Okay, but last year he didn't.
Hey, guess what, Tim?
This year he's not going to.
The year they went to the Super Bowl, it was Todd Gurley.
Man, the Eagles had a great running back group.
No, I'm talking about the Rams, the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, but
it was Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Oh, but it wasn't Sean McVay.
And what happened to Todd Gurley that year?
He got injured in the Eagles game.
He got injured.
And then what happened to Boy Genius?
And then he couldn't play. And he
no,
was
what
out.
Happened to Boy Genius, the what head coach?
What happened to him?
Yes.
Nothing happened to them. They made the Super Bowl.
Well, how many points did they score?
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Three?
Oh.
Let's go to Devin in Harleysville. Devin, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, I'm just in agreement with John on this one. Ike, I'm not really sure how you can try and say that Wentz is years better than Jared Goff, yet
Wentz is year?
Completely go back on the statement.
What do you mean?
Well, a week ago, maybe?
Yeah.
I've been listening for not too long now, but been listening for a bit, about 8 hours a day whenever I'm at work.
That's good work.
And you have been ranting about Wentz being miles and miles ahead of Jared Goff.
He is.
Yet, then how does Sean McVay make a Super Bowl with a quarterback who is nowhere near the top of the list?
With a quarterback that's in the top 15? With a running back? You're asking me how he made the Super Bowl. I'm about to tell you. With a quarterback that's in the top 15, with a running back who was probably one of the top rushers until they played the Eagles, I believe, in week 14 or 15 when he got banged up. He was one of the better running backs because they traded for Brandon Cooks, because they drafted Cooper Kupp, because they have Aaron Donald on their team?
Wasn't he injured? Wasn't Gurley just completely torn to
pieces? He was shot.
Yeah, but that was after week 14 is the point. They were already
– how did he make the Super Bowl with a running back that's completely shot?
Hold on. Did you not see the Saints game?
I did.
So then you know how they made the Super Bowl, right?
But if their entire offense ran through their running back, as was said before,
dude, they beat the Cowboys, and then they beat the Saints on a bad penalty that wasn't called, and the Saints quarterback, who I think is old overrated, threw two interceptions. What did Sean McVay do in that game that makes him a genius?
What is he to make him a genius?
No, wait a minute. What did he do? He asked me, how did they get to the Super Bowl? I'm telling him. Where does Sean McVay come in at? As somehow he's the guy that did it.
Yeah, I coached Sean
right,
Payton.
Yeah, you don't even believe that.
Jared Goff, 17th on this list right here that I'm reading.
You don't believe. I told you, top 15.
17.
Top. Okay, that's half the league.
They're a 5-win team if Jared Goff's the quarterback here last year. 215-592.
Too bad 94. We'll never know that. All I know is that head-to-head, Doug Peterson is better. Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl. Doug Peterson has had his team in the playoffs three straight years. Where is it that Sean McVay is better than Doug Peterson? Nobody has explained that to me yet. Like, how is that other than you may like the way he sounds versus what Doug sounds like?
He's got better hair,
but
too.
From a coaching standpoint, like, I don't see where. One guy has a ring on his finger. One guy has lost players three straight years and gotten his team in the playoffs in back-to-back years with a roster that's decimated. I'm trying to figure out what Sean McVay has done.
215-592-9494.
That's more impressive. If I stack Sean McVay's resume up next to Doug in a head-to-head like they do for boxers, What's it? The tale of the tape. You're somehow going to tell me that Sean McVay's ledger is more impressive better than.
Of course not.
But then the argument's over.
No, but I mean, if it was just based on that, of course that.
Well, neither one
of
them actually play. So what else can you base it on?
2-1. Well, all right. So anybody that wins the Super Bowl is a better coach than anybody else.
No, we're talking about Doug versus Sean McVay.
215-592-9494.
Like, you haven't told me anything Sean McVay has done that Doug hasn't done.
Doug hasn't taken over a morbid franchise like Sean McVay did. Sean McVay developed those wide receivers in Los Angeles, lost his top offensive player, still went to the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and
Reese.
Lost
because of his quarterback.
Yeah, his quarterback stinks.
Yeah, Doug doesn't have that excuse. He didn't lose because Carson Wentz got injured.
No, I know. But how did the quarterback play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because of Doug.
215-592.
That's the difference in the coach getting his quarterback ready to go. That's why he's better.
94-94. It's the birthday of two of the most dominant athletes ever. And on their birthday, we have to decide. Jack decides we have to decide. Who's the most dominant athlete ever? We'll tell you whose birthday it is and throw that into the mix next. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.